The commission investigating the 9/11 attack said it has no evidence of collaboration between Saddam Hussein's Iraq and al-Qaeda. That statement comes as the commission is holding its final 2 days of hearings and has already begun putting together a final report due for release next month. Today, the commission focused on telling the definitive story of just how the 9/11 plot came together. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
With just weeks before the commission's mandate expires, the staff statements released at this hearing may be an early peek at the final report. Today, the commission painted a picture of the 9/11 plot as a complex, far-flung venture that was once even more ambitious than the final version. 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has told investigators he wanted to hijack 10 planes, attack targets on the east and west coasts of the U.S., including CIA and FBI headquarters and nuclear power plants. Dietrich Snell, a member of the commission staff, says Mohammed hoped to pilot the 10th plane himself.
Rather than crashing the plane into a target, he would have killed every adult male passenger, contacted the media from the air, and landed the aircraft at a U.S. airport. He says he then would have made a speech denouncing U.S. policies in the Middle East before releasing all of the women and children passengers.
The commission relied heavily on summaries of interrogations of Mohammed, Ramzi bin al-Shib, and dozens of other al-Qaeda associates now in U.S. custody. But the Bush administration refused to grant direct access to the detainees on national security grounds. The final plot was scaled back as al-Qaeda wrestled with constant challenges. Some would-be hijackers could not get U.S. visas. And other plotters just couldn't get along. Zia Jara and hijack leader Mohammed Atta were viewed among the conspirators as an unhappy couple. The commission staff believes that Zacharias Moussaoui, currently facing charges in connection with the 9/11 plot, may have been intended as a possible replacement for Jara if he dropped out. Staff member Dietrich Snell says that in the summer of 2001, Moussaoui's training as a pilot was suddenly speeded up.
At about this time, he also purchased two knives and inquired of two GPS manufacturers whether their units could be converted for aeronautical use, actions that closely resembled those of the 9/11 hijackers during their final preparations for the attacks. Moussaoui's August 16, 2001 arrest ended his simulator training and may have prevented him from joining the 9/11 operation.
But the detainees appear to disagree on Moussaoui's role. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed maintained that Moussaoui was meant to take part in a second wave of attacks, according to the commission. That's a role much closer to claims that Moussaoui has made in open court. The commission staff also sought to close the books on two of the hottest open questions. First, staffers say there's no evidence of any official Saudi role in funding the attacks. The commission reviewed 28 pages of classified material omitted from an earlier congressional report and found no backing for theories that money may have flowed from Saudi officials to 9/11 supporters. Staffer Douglas McKechin says there's another link that didn't pan out.
There have been reports that contacts between Iraq and al-Qaeda also occurred after bin Laden returned to Afghanistan, but they do not appear to have resulted in a collaborative relationship. And two senior bin Laden associates have adamantly denied any ties existed between al-Qaeda and Iraq.
As recently as this week, the administration has asserted there were ties between Iraq and al-Qaeda. The commission statement also said there's no evidence that Mohammed Atta ever met with an Iraqi official in Prague, as has been alleged since 9/11. But commissioners are clearly most concerned about how to prevent the next attack. And this hearing offered little reassurance that reforms to date have given the U.S. the upper hand. Vice Chairman Lee Hamilton was clearly unpleasantly surprised when he asked FBI counterterror official John Pistol this question.
What do we really know today about the capabilities, not the intent, the capabilities of al-Qaeda today to attack?
A long pause ensued before Pistol said very little. He told Hamilton the FBI knew a little more about how al-Qaeda raises money in the U.S., very little about the organization's command and control structure.
So to sum up then, we have almost no information with regard to their capabilities in the United States. We know a little bit about their funding in the United States today. We know a little bit about their leadership today in the United States. We know very little, if anything, about their command and control. Do I sum it up correctly?
That's fairly accurate. We know.
The commission holds its 12th and final public hearing tomorrow. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.